Today's Bible reading is taken from 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 8. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So just as Anna comes up to speak to us from God's word, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray your blessing upon Anna now. I pray that you'd fill her with your Holy Spirit. Give her your words to share with us today. Give us open ears and open hearts to receive them and to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Good morning, everyone, and thank you so much for having me back. It's great to be here, and even better to see the new building filled with people. The last time I saw it, the work parties were still going on, so the church is its people, and it's great to see St. Mary's filled with people again this morning. Shall we pray again together? Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that we can gather to worship you. We pray that you would meet with us in this place, make us attentive to your voice, open our hearts to your Spirit, and continue your good work in each of us, even now, transforming us to look more like your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. I'm sure we all had some sort of an idea of what we wanted to be when we grow up. Maybe several ideas. Recently, my dad helpfully found a record of my childhood ambitions. In a 2-page essay entitled, "Mum, You're Special," written when I was about 6, I wrote this. "When I grow up, I am going to take Mummy to the moon and let her see the moon." As if taking her wasn't enough, I was going to let her see it as well. As you've probably guessed, that hasn't happened yet. And life hasn't exactly taken me in the direction of becoming an astronaut. But thankfully, Bezos and Branson are working on helping me out, so Mum, don't lose hope yet. But rather than being concerned with jobs, hobbies, or childhood ambitions, our reading from 2 Peter today invites us to delve deeper. It cuts to the very heart of who we are to ask questions about our character and our very way of life. Today, Scripture invites us to reflect on how we are growing up in Christ and how we are maturing as Christians. Peter writes to the church and asks, "What sort of people ought you to be, living lives of holiness and godliness?" And as we explore the meaning of that question for us today, we're jumping to the very end of Peter's second letter. So let's begin by setting the scene. When he wrote this letter to the church, Peter was likely facing death at the hands of his persecutors. This is a farewell letter written to encourage, to build up, and to remind disciples of Christ who they are called to be and how they are called to live. Disciples in the early church anticipated, of course, that Jesus would return quickly. Time was passing. The gospel was spreading, churches were growing, but still, Jesus hadn't come back. Some people were growing impatient. They were drifting, they were becoming faithless, and they were asking, when is Jesus' promised return? Rather than using time wisely, rather than growing in faith supplemented with virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, rather than growing in their love for one another, some disciples were forsaking the way of Jesus and going astray like lost sheep. But Peter knows the truth of the gospel. Peter has seen Jesus live, die, and rise again. He knows Jesus is worthy of it all. But Peter also knows what it is to fall short of the glory of God. Peter knows his own weaknesses, and so he knows the truth of human weakness. Peter knows that we as humans are prone to wander, prone to leave the God we love. So he writes this letter to encourage steadfastness, faithfulness, holiness, and godliness, and to give us a great and glorious vision to inspire these characteristics. Peter writes to stir up our sincere minds by way of reminder. God is faithful to his word. God's promises are sure. The day of the Lord will come. Christ will return. As we still wait for Christ's return, this great truth might be hard for us to grasp or even imagine. Today, we might be feeling the weight of a broken world, groaning with longing for the return of our Redeemer. Life comes with challenges. The pandemic has taken its toll. Scenes of suffering from around the world in places like Afghanistan or Haiti are heartbreaking. Today, we might be weary in soul and heavy in heart. But Peter's letter offers us fresh hope. It ignites the embers of our faith and stirs our passion by the Lord, all by lifting up our eyes to see the hope that is ours in Christ Jesus. By the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, as we also wait for the return of Jesus, this letter is for us, here in St. Mary's, here this morning, just as it was for the churches Peter wrote to over 2,000 years ago. We picked up the reading of the letter in verse 8 of chapter 3 with an incredible truth about the character of God. Peter reminds us not to overlook the fact that the Lord is not bound by our sense of time. One day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not bound by our limitations. He is the creator, not the created. He is eternal. He is everlasting. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what some people in their impatience thought was a slowness to the Lord's acting is instead an amazing demonstration of the Lord's gracious patience towards his people. And this is good news. The patience of our Lord is a matter of our salvation. He desires that all should come to repentance. He so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son to die that we might live. And now God is patiently waiting for many sons and daughters to come to faith in his beloved Son and in our beloved Savior. What we perceive as slowness as we wait for, hope for, long for the return of Jesus and the redemption of all creation, what we might perceive of as slowness is in fact just another example of God's boundless love and extravagant grace. From verse 10, hear the promise of God. The day of the Lord will come. And what a glorious day it will be when the heavens pass away, holy fire will purify all things and reveal all things as they are truly meant to be. Christ will come again and all things will be made new. Peter gives us this glorious vision of the day of the Lord, the end of the redemption story, because in knowing the end of the story, we learn how to live and act in the middle of it. We are positioned right in the middle of the beautiful, good, and true story of a loving God at work in the world, even when we don't perceive it. This love story helps us to understand the world and to find our place in it. It makes sense of our everyday lives, and it calls us to a different way of living. God's patience is an opportunity for the people of God to partake in the work of the kingdom. This is our calling, our vocation as a people of faith saved by grace. We have kingdom work to do, and it's an enormous privilege. As kingdom workers, what sort of people ought we to be? Peter tells us we ought to be a holy and godly people, witnessing to the truth of the gospel and making known the love, mercy, and grace of God. We are called to weave our holy and godly thread of life into the resurrection fabric, which will one day be completed and revealed in all its glory. As we await the climax of the story, the return of the King and the coming of his kingdom, we are the body of Christ. Holiness and godliness is found in living, moving, and acting after the example of the head of the body, who is Jesus. We are animated by him. We are called to imitate him, walking in the manner he walked. This is a high calling, to be the body of Christ, to be called to Christ-like holiness and godliness is a high calling. But we are not alone. At times we will act in ways that are not at all holy or godly, but we are a work in progress. We are in the studio of the Lord, being shaped and fashioned for his glory, being molded by his gentle hands into Christ-likeness. We are imperfect, but he is perfect. He forgives, and by faith we are forgiven. We are restored, we are filled with the Spirit, and empowered and equipped to continue in lives of holiness and godliness. From beginning to end, this beautiful gospel story is all about Jesus. We take our rightful place in this story by conforming our lives to his and growing in Christ-likeness. The world will offer us many competing stories about what makes for a good life. Self-help, self-improvement, more money, better holidays, a bigger house, a better car. But none of these things, none of them will spring up to eternal life. None can offer fullness of life. Only the gospel can offer all we hope for and long for and need. Cultivating godly character and living a holy life amidst all these competing stories and all the competing demands of the world is not easy. We become distracted and we become focused on the wrong things. The things we devote our time and energy to will form us into the kinds of people we are becoming. Are we growing up in Christ? Are we growing in Christian maturity? Or is our attention fixed elsewhere? Some disciples in the early church who Peter wrote to, and some disciples now, forget. They forget the beautiful story they are a part of in Christ, and so lose sight of the goal which is our heavenly prize. And this is one of many reasons why we cannot give meeting together as believers. We cannot look Christ-like without the body of Christ. The Church of God is a gift from God. We cannot be a holy and godly person without a holy and godly people. The church reminds us of the story we truly belong in. The church embodies the kingdom way of life as we pray together for the kingdom to come on earth as in heaven. We cultivate holiness and godliness and grow in Christ-likeness by doing life together as a community of believers. When we gather for worship, we remind one another over and over again of the beautiful, true, and good gospel story. Christ was promised. Christ has come. Christ has died. Christ has risen. And Christ will come again. We sing songs of praise to make known these truths. We proclaim and study the word of God. We pray the prayers of the people. We practice hospitality, care for the poor, seek the lost, and welcome the outcast. These things, done in community and practiced each and every day by each and every person, are transformative. When the church lives this way, the church can change the world because the kingdom is coming. This is sort of my farewell letter to the church family here in St. Mary's. And like Peter, I trust that God will use his word to encourage, to build up, and to remind you as disciples of Christ who you are called to be and how you are called to live. A year and a half ago, I found out that I'd be spending my deacon year in St. Mary's. No one knew then that it would be the year it's been, but I couldn't have spent it with a better sort of people. You are a people who welcome generously. You laugh easily, you bear one another's burdens, and you worship the Lord with great joy. I give thanks for these things and much, much more besides. I give thanks for the sorts of people who make up this wonderful church family, and I give thanks for the time we have spent together, whether it's been on Zoom or in person. Thank you. Thank you for adopting me into your church family, and I am so grateful to know that I have brothers and sisters in Christ here in St. Mary's. And I'm so excited to see what God has in store for you, because God is not finished with you yet. Greater things have yet to come. As we wait for and hasten the coming of the day of the Lord, I want to encourage you and urge you on. The beautiful story that began so long ago, that we are caught up in now as his disciples, will one day reach a beautiful end. Tears will be wiped away, death will be no more, these things will dissolve away. And we will see our God clearly, face to face. But until that day comes, how we live is a testimony to the grace we have received. The kind of church we are and are becoming, and the kind of disciples we are and are becoming, is how we point others to Christ our Savior. So be steadfast and faithful in living holy lives marked by holiness and godliness. Now is the time for wholehearted discipleship, total surrender to the God who loves us and sent his Son to save us. Now is the time for faithful pursuit of things of the kingdom, for commitment to the kingdom way of life. Now is the time for a holy and godly people to boldly and courageously love God and love their neighbor. Now is the time for sincere faith, pure hearts and radical obedience that will see not only our lives transformed, but will see many come to know and love the God we serve. May all of this be true and more for me and for you. According to his promise, as we wait for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells, as we wait, may a holy and godly people boldly rise up here in St. Mary's and throughout the whole world, and all to the glory of God. May it be so. Amen.